Our meditation for this morning, the last of the church calendar year before we begin the season of Advent next Sunday, will be based upon our gospel and specifically Jesus' warning that we are to keep watch, for we do not know when he shall return. Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to pose a question to you, and I'd like you to give it some thought. What would you want to be doing the very moment Jesus returns for Judgment Day, assuming you're not in heaven already? I'm going to venture and say that many of us would like our Lord finding us praying, reading the Bible, worshiping here in church, helping someone in need, teaching little children about Jesus, caring for an infant or an aged parent. Here's another question. What are the odds that Jesus will find you actually doing any of those things? Do you think your odds will increase if Jesus comes back on a Sunday morning? Sadly for many, the answer is now likely, because more and more folks are completely ignoring God on Sundays. So, what will Jesus find you doing the moment the trumpet blasts announces that he is here to judge the living and the dead? Will it be something of which you will be proud, or will it be something of which you will be ashamed? Will it be something God would approve of or frown upon? We are informed that Jesus' disciples wanted to know when the last day was going to come, presumably so that they would be prepared, and so he told them. No one knows about that day or hour, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Therefore, be on guard, be alert, for I will come suddenly, so do not let me find you sleeping or unawares. Does the name John Frederick Parker mean anything to you? It should. This man's actions, or lack thereof, literally changed the course of American history. It was the evening of April 14th, 1865, Good Friday of all days, and John Parker, a Washington, D.C. police officer, was assigned to guard President Abraham Lincoln while he attended the popular comedy Our American Cousin at Ford's Theater. Parker had been provided a chair outside the door to the private box that the president was sitting in, but he couldn't see or hear the play from that spot, and so he unbelievably left his post in order to move to an empty seat down on the main floor, leaving Lincoln unprotected. At the play's intermission, Parker left the theater altogether and went to the Star Saloon next door to have a drink, and never did make it back to Ford's Theater. At 10:14, John Wilkes Booth burst into the unguarded private box and shot Abraham Lincoln in the head, killing the man, and changed history. Later, Parker said, "I did not believe that anyone would try to kill so good a man in such a public place, and that belief made me careless." I have a feeling that many, many people are going to say something very similar on that day Christ returns, saying something like, "I did not believe that today, of all days, was going to be the day. My lax attitude with regards to my faith led me to be careless." But folks, bad things tend to happen when folks get careless. Space shuttles blow up, bridges collapse, doors blow off on airplanes in mid-flight, and people become complacent about their faith. So Jesus says, be on guard, be alert. Don't become careless, for you do not know the day or hour that you shall stand before me to give an account of your life. And our end could come at any moment. It is but a heartbeat away, as they say. Every morning we wake up could very well be our last. Every goodbye to a loved one could very well be the last time we get to do so. Knowing this, how ought we to live our lives? Careless or careful? Jude, in our epistle reading for this morning, says, "Build yourselves up in your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save them by snatching them out of the fire, that is, their unbelief. Jesus sums up that thought by simply saying, be on guard, be alert. I've always appreciated Martin Luther's response to how the Christian ought to live their life, even if they knew today would be the last. I'd plant a tree, he said. In other words, if we're living as we should, guided by the Scriptures, and that we are careful with our faith, giving it the attention we ought to, and where it literally defines our identity, how we think and act, then there should be no reason to change or modify our life. You're ready to meet your Maker, so go plant a tree so that somebody in a few years will benefit from it. Of course, conversely, if your faith plays little or no part in defining how you think and live, then change is probably in order, and the sooner the better, because you don't know when your last heart will be or when the trumpet will blow. And Jesus makes an appearance unmatched by anything we could ever imagine. It won't be anything like his first humble appearance in a manger, but rather it will be in glory, and every knee will bend, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord, even those who revile his name. But when you and I look up, all doubt will be removed, all hopes fulfilled, every prayer answered, as the Son of God, who gave his life as a ransom for our sins, returns in all his power. We are told that the angels will sweep us from our feet to meet the Lord in the air. It will mark for us the end of all things fearful, and we'll finally realize that all that time we spent worrying was for naught. We'll laugh over all our attempts to cling to all those things in life that mean nothing. It will be the moment that we'll realize that we'll have all eternity to spend with our Lord and fellow believers, and there will be no more crying, no more heartache, no more sin, no more broken bodies, no more temptation to deal with, only joy, unceasing joy, unending love, and fellowship, paradise, reborn. But until that day arrives, we live in a world wrought with change that mostly seems to be going at a breakneck speed in the wrong direction. We will experience disappointment with people we love and frustration with the government and work. We watch the world's morals spin out of control. That's why we don't anchor our hopes on the power of man or politics, but rather we anchor our hopes on these words. He is risen. Jesus would have us trust in that which does not change, his word, and then share it with those who don't have it. That, my friends, is how we remain on guard and on alert. When we faithfully man the watchtower and call out the Lord's imminent approach, we remain prepared to meet our Maker when we fully trust that Jesus paid the penalty our sins have incurred. When we believe that while he hung from the cross, he was being punished for my crimes and my transgressions against God's law. I'm ready for death and ready to meet my Maker when I accept that on my own accord I have no recourse to escape hell and therefore plead for mercy for Christ's sake, and then I shall have it. For heaven and earth will pass away, but God's promises of forgiveness to the repentant will not. Therefore, keep watch, pray, read, worship, and believe the good news. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus, O Lord, forevermore. Amen. Our Lord's blessings to each and every one of you.